Now, the message this week is all about that, actually. You know that I just began a new series a couple weeks ago called Pastor Answers Tough Questions, and I have received some fantastic questions. Glenn, go ahead and bring up that PowerPoint for me. The question this week, I'm going to read it to you, but the title of the message this week is called Proper Posture in Prayer. And the question that I received for this message says, what is the proper way to pray? Say, if I carry a plate of food from the kitchen to the TV and give thanks, or Christ at communion when he blessed it and gave thanks. But number one, what is the proper way to do that? Should I be on my knees at bed or just lying in bed before I go to sleep? Number two, does one keep repeating the same prayer? Or number three, does God get bored? So I thought that was really an excellent question, an excellent thing to think through. And so as I started to think through that, I started to look at the scripture and say, okay, what are the different postures of prayer that are mentioned in the scriptures? And if you have a bulletin this morning, I've given you a cheat sheet, more or less, of the different postures of prayer that are mentioned in scripture. So the first part was, what is the proper way to pray? And the question asked, should I be sitting or should I be laying in bed? Or what is the proper posture to pray? So the scripture actually gives us several different ways that it is appropriate to pray. The first one on this picture here says sitting, and I'm sorry it's a little bit off the top of the screen. But the example in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 is King David sitting before the Lord and praying to him. And then there are multiple examples of standing to pray. There's praying while walking. Of course, there's praying while bowing down. And the Apostle Paul says, I will that men everywhere lift up holy hands in prayer. And then there's the example of kneeling and the example of literally being prostrate before the Lord, just flat down on your face, giving worship to him. And I wonder if we are willing to take all of these different postures of prayer in our lives. Now, I know some of you right away are going, I've had knee surgery. There's no way that I'm taking this posture of prayer. Well, I think that the Lord can understand that. I don't think it's a matter of whether or not you've had knee surgery, whether he thinks that you ought to kneel before him, but rather, are you willing to? Like, would your pride inhibit you from being willing to kneel before the Lord? That's the big question, I think, with the posture of prayer, is what postures of prayer are you unwilling to take because of your pride? This one here, the idea of being prostrate is just face down before the Lord. Lord, I am not worthy. You are worthy of all things. I submit myself fully to you. So any physical posture of prayer is acceptable to the Lord as long as it's done with the proper heart. So the posture of prayer that's most important is not your physical one, whether you're sitting, standing, walking, kneeling, prostrated on the ground, bowing before him, whatever you might be doing, that's not nearly as important as the posture of your heart before him. Have I confessed my sins to him before I've lifted him up? Am I praying in faith? Do I really believe that he's going to answer? And those types of things. So I could end the message right there. But there were a couple other aspects of the question that I wanted to touch base on. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And while you're turning there, I want to show you a little video clip. This is just 3 minutes long from a movie, Bruce Almighty. Have you seen Bruce Almighty? How many of you have seen the movie Bruce Almighty? This movie, I can't believe it, is 15 years old already. But the idea in the movie Bruce Almighty is that Morgan Freeman plays the person of God in the movie. And Jim Carrey is a very prideful, not very ethical individual who is given the powers of God and the responsibility of God for a time. And what I want to show you in this video is this is the prayer scene out of it. So you know that around the world, people are praying to God all the time, right? So with Jim Carrey being given the powers of God, this is how he handles prayer requests.
You took the job, Bruce, so I suggest you get to it.
The voices prayers, in his head prayers, are the prayer okay, requests. Prayers.
This creepy whisper thing has to end. Organization and management. That's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate.
Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Well, that takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
Grace might notice.
I know. Prayer post-its! Okay, I need something with a lock. Security combination, password. Password. Yo!
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
Fruit un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adiós.
Adiós.
Now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Everybody's happy. So, that was Bruce trying to handle the idea of prayer. Now, have you ever thought about God handling all of the world's prayers? You saw that it went from 1,500,000, and he typed all those things. I must have made a dent by now, and then it was over 3 million unread prayers. Think about God handling all of the prayers of the world and yet caring about you so much that he'll answer our individual prayers. Okay. He is not only God, not only the God of the universe, but he is our Father. And he answers prayers the way that they need to be answered, right? So how did Bruce handle it? He just said yes to everybody's prayers. How do you think that goes over later in the movie? Well, I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the question was, does one keep repeating the same prayer? So we have an example for us, fortunately. Glenn, can you just click on the main screen? Nope, you're fine. There we go. All right, we have an example for us in Luke chapter 18. You know, here's the idea. Okay, I have a prayer request. I pray for it. Do I just leave it there and say, well, I've prayed for it, so it's done. You know, I don't need to pray about it anymore. God hasn't answered yet, but I'm sure he will. I'm just going to leave it and not pray about it again. Or do we continue to pray? So does one keep repeating the same prayer? We have a parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18. He said, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to him, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by continuing to come. Now, isn't that interesting that this is the example that Jesus uses about God the Father? God the Father in this situation being that judge who neither, quote, fears God nor respects man. But this is the example that Jesus uses. And the example is this widow who keeps coming to him, keeps coming to him, keeps coming to him. And yet, even though he doesn't fear God or respect man, he's going to give her the justice that she's requesting. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will he not give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here's your example, okay? Jesus uses the example of an unrighteous judge to teach us something about his Father. It's totally outside of what we would expect him to teach us. But the idea is that we ought to continue to pray, continue to knock, continue to seek, continue to ask. And even though God may not answer the first time or the second time or the tenth time, he wants us to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. But not only keep praying, but what else does Jesus say? It's a little phrase right there. Never lose heart. Never lose heart. So have you been praying for somebody for a long time and you just feel like it's impossible, that what you've been praying for them could never happen, that they're never going to change? Jesus says, keep praying, never lose heart. That's my encouragement to you today, because I know some of you out there are dealing with just that situation. Keep praying, never lose heart. The Lord hears you. But just like in the movie where Bruce answers everything yes, if God were to answer everything yes when we wanted it yes, it would cause a huge mess. Now, the third part of the question was, does God get bored with our prayers? Does God get bored with our prayers? Now, I want you to, first of all, look at this as from the point of view of a parent, okay? God being our Father, right? Now, if your child comes to you repeatedly saying, Father, I'm just so happy with you. You're just so wonderful. I you know, how many of us as dads just get a big kick out of when our children try to model something after us in a good way, right? Let me put that a little. When they want to be like us because of something good that we do, that makes us excited. That makes us happy that we feel like we're accomplishing something positive in their lives, right? So I think in that way, I think in the adoration way, and I think in modeling ourselves after God, God loves when we pray to him. But how many of us on the other side of things have had children who just keep asking us for stuff all the time. Just it's never about thankfulness for what we've already done for them. It's about what can we do for them in the future. Is anybody here's prayer life like that? Where the only time that you talk to God is when you need something. Okay. If it is, then I think that that is one type of prayer that God probably does get bored with. Let me show you a couple of things that God probably gets bored with. Okay. First of all, unprayed prayers. Unprayed prayers. James says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Okay? How many times have you gone up to somebody thinking that it's going to go really bad, and then you ask them something, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. That happens to me all the time. But what James is saying, what Jesus repeated several times, was one of the reasons that we don't have what we want or what we need is because we don't ask God for it. We try to do things in our own power. We try to figure out another way. Or sometimes we just say, it's impossible, and throw up our hands and say, I'm never going to have or do that. And we leave God completely out of the equation. My mentor likes to say, our 2 plus 2 is 4, but God's 2 plus 2 is anything he wants it to be. Right? We limit ourselves in our prayer because we look at how things can work out from our perspective and not from God's. And we need to look at how God can do amazing, impossible things. I mean, I just think about the Haiti trip and the amazing, impossible things that God did there, like the books and the strawberries, and over and over and over, he provides, he provides, he provides. That trip was soaked in prayer. You can tell because of the way that God worked in it, right? We have not because we ask not. The second thing that I think God gets, quote, bored with is unscrupulous prayers. And what I mean by that is, you may have seen on the screen some of the things that were on that prayer request list when he was answering yes, 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 was things like no football practice, no homework, and things like that, right? Unscrupulous prayer requests. And what I mean by that is James says in the next verse, James 4:3, you do not have because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You do not have because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. How many of you know somebody who's been praying that they would win the lottery? Larry just mentioned it in right before one of the songs. We didn't even talk about that, but I knew I was going to talk about it. Larry talked about it in that, you know what happens in that movie? Okay? Yes, 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 right? All these people win the lottery, and they get $16 each. Life-changing. You do not have because you ask with the wrong motives. You ask so that you can spend it on your passions. Make sure that when you pray to God, you're asking him for things with the right motives. And the right motives are going to be things that are going to bring him glory. Okay? The right motives are going to be things that bring him glory. The last one that I want to mention is unbelieving prayers. Unbelieving prayers. Brother Mark, I get to pray with him regularly, and it's such a blessing to me because he prays in faith. He prays as though God has already answered the prayer request. And I think that's what James in James 1, verses 6 and 7 is trying to get across. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. No doubting. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Which person? The one who prays while doubting that God is going to do something. Have you ever prayed something and doubted that God was going to answer? Well, if you doubted he was going to answer, then you were right from the beginning. Because the moment that you doubt when you pray, it like gives God a way out. Not that God needs a way out, But it says to God, they're really not serious about this. They don't really trust that I'm going to work here. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Make sense? Okay, the last part that we're going to go to here. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus, and guess what they say to him? Lord, teach us to pray, like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. I got you all going to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to spin it on you. We're actually going to Matthew chapter 6. Because what we find in Luke chapter 11 is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, which is actually significantly shorter than Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. But I want to go through it because it gives us a model for how we ought to pray. This is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray, okay? And of course, many of you are very significantly familiar with this. Jesus starts with, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the first line. What is Jesus saying that we should do first when we pray? We should worship him. We should worship God. How do your prayers normally start? Do they normally start with worship? Or do they normally start with, Lord, I need? If it's, Lord, I need more of you, great. If it's, Lord, I need this or that, then you've already started off on the wrong foot. We should start our prayers with worship of him. And then, you know what Jesus says? Thy kingdom come. We've talked about that a couple times in the last week. Thy kingdom come. So what we're doing here is we're submitting ourselves to God. We're submitting our will underneath his. In fact, the next line says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Does it say my will be done? No. So when we pray, we are submitting ourselves, our will. Even if you pray the words like this, Lord, this is what I believe that I need. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then at least you're submitting your will underneath his. Right? He continues with, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread, not our lifetime bread. Right? What did the people say to Jesus after he had multiplied the loaves and fishes? They came back to him and they said, give us this food always, right? Give us this bread always. But what Jesus tells us to pray is, give us today's bread. And then tomorrow I'm going to pray, give us today's bread. And then the next day I'm going to pray, give us today's bread. Just provide day by day by day for us. Lord, I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be rich. Just provide for me day by day by day. And then the next thing he says is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many of you want to be forgiven in the same way that you forgive other people? I think I would like to be forgiven better than I forgive other people. Because I still have a ways to go. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he ends the prayer with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. It starts with worship. It continues with submitting our will to his will. And then it goes on to provide for us just today. Provide for me today. And then a lesson in the fact that we ought to be good forgivers. Christians ought to be good forgivers because we have been forgiven so much. And then lead us not into temptation. Why lead us not into temptation? Because we are prone to fall to it. And a sin against any person is a sin against God. And we need to remember that. I was thinking about it this week. I was thinking about what is deliberate sin, and I posted on Facebook if you didn't see. Deliberate sin is any time that I want something and nobody, not even God, can tell me that it's wrong. Or nobody, not even God, can tell me that I shouldn't do it. That's deliberate sin. How many times do we fall into that? Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Lead us not to where we're going to fall, but deliver us from evil. In fact, some translations here say, deliver us from the evil one. And then what does he end it with? He submits ourselves back to God. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We go back to worship. So, I want to take just a couple minutes to pray for us as a congregation. And then I believe Larry has one song for us. But I want to pray for us. I want to pray and thank God for the missions team that came back. But I also want to pray and thank God for the missions team that is on their way back right now. And I want to pray over these 180 shoeboxes. We had a goal of 170. You may have seen last week that some of the boxes didn't get packed. Those were extras. They were not supposed to be packed. We actually exceeded our goal box-wise. We're just expecting the Lord to provide the shipping now. So let's take just a couple moments and pray. Lord, we worship you. You alone are worthy of worship. We submit our wills to you, Lord. Your will be done. We pray that you would provide our daily bread, just our daily, Lord. We pray specifically that you provide our daily bread so that we learn to rely on you and not on ourselves. Father, we pray that you would keep us from temptation, because when we're in temptation, we tend to rely on our own judgment, which isn't always the greatest. Father, we pray that we would forgive other people better than we do now, that we might be forgiven also. Lord, we submit all things back to you. Father, we thank you for the example that Jesus gave us of prayer and how to do it. We thank you for the things that James talked about praying in faith and not praying prayers so that we can spend it on our passions, Lord, but that you might receive the honor and glory in our lives. Father, we thank you for the miraculous ways that you brought the missions team through what they were dealing with in Haiti, Lord, and we thank you for bringing the teens back to us today, Lord. We thank you that you've given us this wonderful facility to be able to worship in, Lord, and we just thank you that the other day when that storm came through, some of our trees were wounded, but our people were not, Lord. So we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for these shoe boxes. We thank you for providing all the materials for them, and we trust you that you're going to provide the shipping as well, Lord, because you know where these boxes are going and whose hearts they're going to be affecting. Lord, we just submit everything to you. Whether we stand, whether we sit, whether we kneel, whether we lay face down on the ground, do not let our pride get in the way of submitting ourselves to you, that you might receive the honor, Lord, and the glory that you deserve, now and forever. Amen.